And now, Move the Sticks with Daniel Jeremiah and Bucky Brooks.
What's up, everybody? DJ Bucky here on Move the Sticks presented by Castrol Edge. What's going on, Buck?
Not too much, man. Getting ready for another exciting weekend of preseason ball. We get the chance to see Sam Darnold. I think he gets a start. He gets a start in there. He gets a start.
Yeah, we got this at ESPN. That's Joe Tessitore, Booger McFarland, Jason Witten, the maiden voyage tonight on Sam Darnold game number two.
How about that, man? I'm really excited. I'm excited about the Sam Darnold conversation because I think it kind of brings us full circle to having that conversation prior to the draft. People were either were in on Sam Darnold or they were out on Sam Darnold based on how he played his second season. The turnovers kind of scared some people away. But now the conversation is going back to like, hey, this is what he's always been. This is what he did at USC. Like, hey, he's a special playmaker. He makes plays. And the fact that he's doing it without being surrounded by, I would say, A-level talent outside, I think you look at him a little differently than you look at some of these other rookie quarterbacks that have had success in that first couple weeks.
Yeah, you know, first of all, if you haven't checked out our 360 on Sam Darnold we did prior to the draft, scroll back through on Apple Podcasts. You can find that Sam Darnold 360 where we interview Sam and Coach Hill and a bunch of other people around Sam, his high school coach. So you'll learn even a little bit more about the Jet signal caller. But, Buck, I always find it interesting during the preseason with all these guys. Yeah, you find people kind of attached to that grade that they gave them not long ago. Mm-hmm. They kind of put blinders on or they don't accept what they're seeing in front of them. Because I saw a lot of people that was like, oh, you know, it's they're not scheming and it's this, that, and the other. Mm-hmm. And then they'd go to talk about another quarterback and talk about how great he was doing and ignoring the same take that they just had on the other guy. So, look, it is what it is. I always say never claim victory nor defeat in the preseason based off your analysis prior to the draft. It's a long road here. Just be careful.
It is a long road, and there's so many other factors that come to how a player plays. Look, the projections that we make prior to the draft, a lot of those are kind of done in a vacuum. We don't know what coach is going to be around him. We don't know how they're going to use their scheme to either highlight and elevate what he does as a playmaker. And we also don't understand what is he going to have around him in terms of a supporting cast? Does he have players and playmakers that will allow him to kind of just play his game where he doesn't have to do too much? I think with Sam Darnold, some of the work, I think you were on this, like, look, he's going to play right away and those things. I thought he would need a little time, but everything that I've seen and heard from people in the building, players on the field, leads me to believe that, look, he's a special player. He's going to do special things in this league. And of all the rookie quarterbacks, I think it's really easy to hang your hat on Sam Darnold, not only because of what he does on the field, but because of the character and the work ethic and all the things that people told you about him that leads you to believe that, look, he's going to be a special player because it's all ball all the time when it comes to him.
Very even personality as well. We'll get into more on these rookie quarterbacks a little bit later in the show. To give you an idea of what we're talking about today, AFC and NFC East previews. We're going to knock those out. What do we see there? Big picture, what to watch for in the preseason, as well as our thoughts on some rookies for those teams. We're going to then get a chance to look at some more week two preseason stuff. We'll have a chance to chat on that. I just came back from Texas A&M visit out there. I'll tell you what I saw out there in Aggieland. We've got some dream home and home matchups in college football this year, as well as some new ones that have been announced. Bucky and I will tell you which ones we're looking forward to in the future. Sully has done his homework, so we'll get to Sully's homework assignment at the end of the show. But Bucky, right at the top here, I think we have no choice. We have to talk about the new presence in the scouting world. There's a new man in town. You know, it's not Bill Polian. It's not Ron Wolf. It's Jalen Ramsey, who's now got a career in scouting.
Hey, I mean, I really love this. I love the fact that we're able to get a player's take on quarterbacks, a bunch of them that he's faced, and how he kind of views them. And I think what is important to know before everyone kind of weighs in on the GQ article, I would encourage them to read the entire article so they can get the full context of what he's saying beyond just kind of the sound bites that have been kind of mentioned here and on some other places. I think Jalen kind of lays it out. We've talked about quarterbacks falling in two different categories, trucks and trailers. And I think a lot of what he's saying is kind of to that. There's a certain amount of quarterbacks, there are a handful of quarterbacks that are really special. It doesn't matter what you give them, what they have around them, they're going to find a way to be special players on the field. There's another collection of quarterbacks that if you put them with the right play caller, you give them the right supporting cast, they can put up big numbers. And then there's a third category of guys that he just doesn't believe can play at all. And I think he doesn't sugarcoat it. And I think because he is so blunt in his assessments, I think that kind of threw some people off. But I give him credit for putting his opinion out there, because people hate when people hide behind anonymity. I am glad that he put his name on it.
I got two thoughts on it, Buck. First of all, guys he's played against and having a strong opinion, and like you said, putting his name on it, I think that's great. I love it. I say, hey, be honest, put it out there. You tell me a great cornerback that isn't cocky and brash, I don't know where that person is. They all believe in it. They might not all say it, but they all have tremendous belief in themselves and therefore questioning kind of who they're playing against. And everybody's inferior. That's the way those great quarterbacks think. But my only one knock on it was, do we have to get after Josh Allen like that? Do you really think that Jalen Ramsey sat down and watched Josh Allen tape in college? You think he tuned in when I was calling that Facebook game when they were playing Texas State early in the season? You think he was logged on to Facebook watching that Josh Allen performance? I have a hard time believing he's ever seen Josh Allen play in college, Buck.
He might have done some highlight scouting.
He might
have did a little YouTube scouting. Might have checked out some highlights and saw some things. It was a little early to weigh in on Josh Allen, but some of the things that he talked about, look, the facts were wrong, but the premise might have been right in terms of Josh Allen didn't play well against big schools. He did throw a lot of interceptions, and based on even looking at the one preseason game, like, he is going to be a bit of a wow or whoa type player. He's going to make some splash plays, but he's going to make you kind of scratch your head. It's funny, though. It's funny to have a guy weigh in and to really let it be known how he feels. And, you know, look, people say, like, oh, he put a spotlight on him. He put bulletin board material.
He doesn't care about that. He hopes they throw to him.
He doesn't care, because he's going to have to face those dudes. He's facing a lot of those quarterbacks, Ben Roethlisberger and all those other guys. I think he will be up to the challenge. We'll get a chance to see. So he will have an opportunity to kind of write his own story when it comes to it.
Do you have that printout? I know Research did a printout.
Yes.
How many of these guys – so of the 16 games this year – how many games will he be playing against somebody he had a comment against?
You know, we don't have that here, but we have, like, what the guys that he's faced. And what's interesting, the guys that he faced that he kind of gave the thumbs up to, 3 touchdowns allowed, 1 interception, passer rating of 87.2, which is kind of like average numbers. The guys that he gave the thumbs down to, 1 touchdown, 5 interceptions, passer rating of 69 when he was in coverage. So, look, the guys that he doesn't like, the guys that he don't think are really, really good, it's because he had a tremendous amount of success against him. And even the guys that he thinks are pretty good, they didn't have great success against him. So maybe as a point, it will be interesting to see how this plays out as we continue to get down the road.
One thing, I do feel like he kind of one-upped us a little bit, Buck, because we like to have our fun exercise that we came up with on the Move the Six podcast, the 3-word evaluation. Take a college player and let's condense it down into 3 words. He beat us by 2 words. I mean, a lot of these are 1-word evaluations. Just sucks, okay, terrible. Like, these are 1-word evaluations. So, I don't know. Maybe we need to start whittling down our 3-word evaluation to get down to 1. I don't know.
I mean, I love it because it certainly catches your attention when he says Ben Roethlisberger, decent at best. Jimmy Garoppolo, all schemes, I guess you could say.
Wow. I wonder if we could – you know how – hey, Sully, you
I
know
love
how
the,
they do
– my favorite was the doesn't suck for Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, that's a nice compliment.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, they don't suck.
You know how they can take the words and they can put the track on it and make it sound like it's a song, you know?
Mm-hmm. Auto-tune?
Is that what – it's auto-tune, right?
Yeah. T-Pain auto-tune.
How great would it – can we do – oh, man, I wish there was an app where we could do that because, I mean – Matt Ryan is overrated. Josh Allen is trash. Joe Flacco sucks. Dak Prescott is okay. Like, if we could put that music.
I think there is an app out there for sure. Oh. Some auto-tune appage.
Yes. We need to auto-tune that thing.
Try to turn it into a song. I'm down.
Yes. You've got your homework coming up at the end of this show that you completed. Right. That might be your homework assignment for next week.
I'm off for the next 10 days, so I'm going to have some time.
Oh, you quitter.
All the time in the world. So, yeah, maybe we'll be able to whip something
up. Tap Hytham on the shoulder. Tell Hytham, hey, he's got to take a little break from the married life. Get to work here.
Get to work.
Let's auto-tune.
that
is fantastic. All right, Buck, you want to jump in on AFC, NFC East here? See what our thoughts are here coming into the season.
I mean, why do we even have to talk about the AFC East? We already know who it is.
Yeah, New England Patriots. Do we just go right to the NFC?
I mean, shoot, the Patriots, they've won it, 9 straight times, 15 out of 17? This is what they do. Tom Brady, it starts with him. He makes everyone better. He masks any flaws that they have. The questions out there about the supporting cast, the weapons that he has available to him in the passing game, I don't think it really matters. They work from inside out. Tight ends and running backs will be the featured targets. Edelman will come back, and he'll play a role. But look, it's all about 87, Rob Gronkowski, and the running backs that they have, Rex Burkhead, James White, Sony Michel. I would expect it to be a heavy, heavy emphasis on working the ball to the backs and making sure that Rob Gronkowski also is featured, especially down in the red zone.
Answer me this, Buck. What was the 90s? Who was it that sang the 90s jam where it was a don't mind? And the, every like little words and don't mind. Do you remember who that was?
Yeah, I don't know that DJ. Oh. There might have been down at Appy State.
No. That's a legitimate. You're gonna look that up. Our listeners are gonna tell us who that is. I want to say it might have been R. Kelly or it was or Keith Sweat. One of the two.
Oh, okay. If you don't mind, I don't know.
I don't know. But I just think about that with Tom Brady because it's like, Usher? God, they're off. Who is it?
No, it's not
Usher. Usher's got a I Don't Mind song.
I know that. It's not I Don't Mind. It just says Don't Mind, and it's like repetitive throughout the song. But I just think about that when I think about the Patriots every year because it's like the offensive line is average. Don't mind.
It doesn't. Yeah,
the playmaker is
questionable. Kent Jones?
Don't mind.
No.
You guys are killing me. Fuck, I thought you had that one in your wheelhouse.
Come on.
Anyways, like you said, Tom Brady, whatever. It doesn't matter what else they got around him. He's going to make it all go, make it all work. So, I don't know. One of these years it's going to slip, but I'm not going to be the one that predict it. And I don't think it happens this year. The big question to me in this division is who's next. I'm a little bit – man, I'm torn on this one because I would say I feel good about the Patriots in the one spot. I feel good about the Bills in the fourth spot for me. And then to me – and I know the Bills were a playoff team last year, but I think this is a transition year for them. To me, it's Miami and the Jets kind of jostling for that second position. What do you say?
You think the Dolphins for the second position?
Yeah, I do.
I did some YouTube. It's Changing Faces with R. Kelly.
The name of the song
is called Stroke You Up.
Oh, jeez.
And the chorus.
We don't need to go there, Buck.
I'm just saying.
That's the name of the song.
That's the name of the song.
Okay.
And we can't play it because we got in trouble last time. We did some R&B stuff. However,
I think we can't do that.
I think that's the song that you're
Yeah, nor do we endorse. Nor do we endorse anything off the mic there. steer clear of that one.
When it comes to the Dolphins, my biggest question really, how good are they? How much talent do they have? And I really want to know, how good is Adam Gase as a head coach? They let some really good players out the door. Jarvis Landry and Dominican Sue, say what you want to about those guys, what the personalities may have been, why they were in the building. On the field, they were really good players. And for whatever reason, he couldn't find a way to kind of get the best out of them, maybe couldn't manage their personalities, manage how they kind of interacted with their teammates and the like. So they let those guys go. I don't know if they brought in any replacements that are better. I will say this. On defense, I think they have a chance to be pretty good.
Yeah, that's I'm with you on that.
Cam Wake is still a dangerous player off the edge. Robert Quinn comes over, gives them a little juice. I think their young corners in the back end kind of develop. Xavier Howard stepping up. You bring in Minka Fitzpatrick and put in the mix. So defensively, I think they can keep the score down. Offensively, I'm a little worried because I don't know if they have a big-time running back. I really don't trust the quarterback. So I just don't know how many points they can score. And I think to beat the Patriots, you have to be able to score 28 to 30 points. I don't know if they can do that consistently.
Yeah, I pretty much agree with everything you said there. They got four defensive ends. You mentioned Wake and Robert Quinn. Then you've got Charles Harris, last year's first-round pick, and William Hayes. That's four pretty good dudes to throw at an offense right there. The secondary is young and talented. Xavier Howard's got a chance to be not just a Pro Bowler. He's got all-pro type ability. So keep an eye on him having a big year, and you're set there at safety with Rashad Jones, who's one of the premier safeties in the league. And Minka can do a lot of different things. So I don't worry about them at all on the defensive side of the ball. The one name I'm kind of keeping an eye on, this is a very big year for Laremy Tunsil. He needs to play to his talent. I mean, I thought he was the most talented player in that draft class. Obviously, he fell because of the whole gas mask thing. But he has not lived up to that. So this is a big year for him. Can he play at an elite level, both in pass protection and be able to really generate some movement there in the run game? So I'm keeping an eye on him on offense. I do like the potential. I know Gesicki's not going to block anybody. But the rookie tight end from Penn State, I think, has a chance to put up some decent touchdown numbers down there in the red zone. So those are some guys I'd keep an eye on. But to me, I come back to them versus the Jets. Man, I was kind of leaning towards the Dolphins, Buck. Let's get into the Jets here before we make our determination.
Mm-hmm. I mean, when you think about the Jets, it begins and ends with Sam Darnold. The quarterback is really kind of taking Jets camp by storm. Came in late because he had the little holdup, wanted to get the language of the contract right. But he's been very impressive since he's shown up, not only in practice but in the preseason game. Look, he had an outstanding debut performance, really kind of sparked the momentum for people talking about him being a starter. And then he goes to joint practices against the Washington Redskins. And you have all pro players like Josh Norman talking about, look, we tried to bait the trap. We tried to set him up. We couldn't do it. It's rare that you find a young quarterback.
The anti-Jalen Ramsey, by the way, Josh Norman, nothing but
mistakes,
compliments.
Like, very complimentary over Sam Darnold. I think that speaks volumes about what he's displayed. He is going to be the starter when they open the season up in September. I'm just surprised that he's been able to kind of grasp the game. And I think one thing, I don't know if you heard his comments, he talked about the pro game, and he didn't say it in a cocky way. He talked about the pro game being a little easier for him because the hashes are tighter, so he's able to play the game in the middle of the field. He said it made it easier for him to identify coverage, whereas in the college game, the hashes being wide, it allowed defenses to kind of play more tricks with him when it came to the pre-snap disguise.
Yeah, it will be interesting. He hasn't seen anything yet, though. I mean, that's
– Oh, no. He just got – he just got vanilla. He got day one install.
Yeah, it's going to change a little bit post-snap once the regular season starts. But I am – I'm a huge Sam Darnold guy. I do think he starts week one, and I think you'll live through some of the ups and downs there. I think they still need to obviously improve the talent around him on the offensive side of the ball will be big. And then when you go to the defensive side of the ball, the thing I like is I think you've got some elite playmakers at all three levels. We always talk about having the blue chipper at all three levels of the defense. And they have it. When you look at what they have with Leonard Williams at level one, you get to level two. Darren Lee's really started to come on.
Yep.
I think he's got a chance to be a special player. He's starting to grow into his talent. And then you got the two safeties back there, especially with Jamal Adams. And really, truthfully, you got one of the top corners in the league in Trumaine Johnson, who's as talented as anybody. So you've got guys at all three levels of the defense, which is a good sign.
Yeah, I mean, defensively, I think they can stack up and go toe-to-toe with anybody. Leonard Williams is a star. They were fortunate to get him at number six when they got him during that draft because he felt, I mean, kind of ridiculously because we thought he might have been the best player in that
draft. Dude in the draft.
And then you go back and you look, Darren Lee giving them a speed player, a playmaker from sideline to sideline. And then I like to include both safeties because I believe Marcus May and Jamal Adams do a great job of rocking and rolling in the back end. And Jamal Adams kind of brings that energy, that intensity, that toughness. He kind of holds people accountable. I just believe the Jets are trending in the right direction. If that offense can give them anything, I think they have a chance to really push for 9 wins.
Yeah, look, it's going to be I go back and forth on this. I have been leaning towards the Dolphins, but even just listening to you there and then kind of taking a deeper look at this roster, man, I might flip it. I might go Patriots 1, Jets 2, Dolphins 3, Bills 4. All right, that's it. I'm done. Put it to bed.
So if you say it quickly, that means you're not held
accountable
for
you. Nobody can clip that off. You can't clip that off. I said it too fast. It's a veteran move, Buck.
Yeah, that is a veteran move. It's funny. So the team that made it to the playoffs last year finished second, the Buffalo Bills. We now have them as cellar dwellers.
Go through the Bills here.
Yeah, when I look at them, part of the reason that I'm worried about the Bills, I think they have a huge question mark at quarterback. Whether you like Tyrod Taylor or not, the one thing that he did for the Buffalo Bills, he didn't lose games, didn't turn the ball over, managed games, added a little to the running game. And for an offense that really only has Shady McCoy as a dangerous weapon, he was just enough to get them over the hump, to give them enough offense. You remove him from the situation, you have Nathan Peterman, you have A.J. McCarron, and you have Josh Allen all vying for the QB1 spot. At wide receiver, I will give them credit for kicking the tires on a pair of former number one picks. Kelvin Benjamin, they got last year in a trade. This year in the summer, a week ago, they go and get Corey Coleman. So now you have two number ones. So at some point, regardless of how they played in their previous spots, people thought they were talented enough to be considered elite prospects. Can they get something out of them? And so we'll see. And then on defense, they don't have any pass rush. They let Marcell Dareus go in the middle of the year. They bring in Tremaine Edmonds, who I like. I just don't know who the dominant playmaker is on that unit in the front seven.
Yeah, Harrison Phillips looked good early on. One of our guys here is one of those. You want to play the our guy thing there, Sully, just one time?
My guy.
Buck, when you look at this Bills team, look, Harrison Phillips, get excited about him. Tremaine Edmonds, the two rookies in the front seven. That's what gets me fired up. And then in the back end, Tre'Davious White, who's another one, who's a you know, guy that we've been
yes.
on for a very long time. So I feel good about that. I have questions in the offensive line. I have questions on who the true number one weapon is in the passing game. That's what concerns me there. And then the quarterback position, you know, I think sooner than later, you're going to go with Josh Allen, and you're going to have to you're going to live with some of the ups and downs there. I know they want to be patient with him. I've been preaching patience with Josh Allen, but I think that the ability gap between him and the other two is going to be so big that they're going to end up having to put him out there sooner than later.
Yeah, I think they have to put him out there, and I think you live with it. Look, we've talked about the young quarterbacks and the way you can develop them. You want to see what they can do year one, year two, you go in the offseason, try and help them. I think they've already started the process of building a team around him. We said they need big guys to expand the strike zone. That's Kelvin Benjamin. And they need juice to take the top off the defense. That's Corey Coleman. If they can run the ball, they should be able to run the ball with Shady McCoy. I think eventually they need to get another running back because Shady can't play forever. But big offensive line, dominant running back, and allowing Josh Allen to throw the ball 20 to 25 times a game, that would be a winning recipe for the Buffalo Bills early. He is a wow and a whoa player. He's going to dazzle you with some of those wild plays, but he's also going to make you go, whoa, don't throw that right there. But if their defense is good enough to kind of overcome some of those miscues, the Buffalo Bills can be right back in the mix as a playoff team in a year or so.
First of all, let's go. I've trademarked wow what, so get rid of the whoa, Buck. Let's go
wow what. Where'd you get what? When did you say
because
what?
Because you go, wow, what?
What? When did you say that?
What?
I don't remember
that. That's my old school. That's why I used to.
I don't remember that.
It's like you had a boom shank punter, right? So you had, I would say quarterbacks, you have a wow what guy. Who was my original wow what? It might have been Paxton Lynch, I think, when I said that on him. He was a classic.
Who?
Like
who?
Yeah, exactly. He's this guy, he plays for the Broncos. I think he's still there.
Yeah, he's still there.
Working his way down the depth chart.
Man, I feel bad for that guy.
Yeah, that's a tough one there. By the way, one question before we move on and get over to the NFC East. Did John Dorsey get the cup of coffee from Corey Coleman for the Bills yet, or does that arrive later? I don't mean, it's 2020, he gets a cup of coffee.
I think it might even have
thrown in a football for that one.
Coffee, he gets a cup of coffee and a honey bun because
that was the terms of trade.
The conditional. If Corey
is the honey bun warm? Is it warm?
If he scores over four touchdowns, they get throwing a honey bun. And and based on my experience in Buffalo, I think it'll probably come from Tim Hortons.
Get a little Canadian coffee.
Yeah, so Tim Horton, they'll send that over there and make sure that John Dorsey is happy if Corey Coleman plays like he could play.
That's rich. Talk about not costing anything. All right, let's get over to the NFC East. One of the more fascinating divisions. Everybody out there complains that everybody in the media, you guys just focus on the NFC East because of the big markets with the big fan bases.
Man, but come on, the Cowboys never get any love.
Yeah, I know. Your Cowboys never get talked about. But when I look at this division, I think it's one of the more interesting divisions this year, for real. Take all the market stuff out of there. When you're looking at the defending Super Bowl champs, the Giants, with all the moves that they've got going here, when you bring in a Saquon Barkley, you try and address the offensive line with two starters. You get Eli Manning, Odell Beckham going. I mean, that's a team that's there's a lot to get into there. The Washington Redskins swap out quarterbacks, and the Dallas Cowboys have had a lot of comings and goings, and they're one of the more interesting teams in the league, one of the best backs, best offensive lines in business. So to me, I think it's a fascinating division. Why don't we start there with the team that won it all last year with the Philadelphia Eagles? Your thoughts on them?
It's uncommon for a team to win a Super Bowl to come back with a better roster, but that's exactly what happened with the Philadelphia Eagles. When you look at them, they're better. They're better on all fronts. They get their left tackle back. Jason Peters didn't play. He comes back and plays, and he's a Pro Bowl player. You get Michael Bennett to come over, a dominant pass rusher off the edge, a guy that gives him some versatility. He's an upgrade over Vinny Curry. And then you get Haloti Ngata. Even at the late stages of his career, you talk about a plugger, a guy that can jump in the rotation, occupy maybe a double team to allow the linebackers to run and scrape. And most importantly, the guy that was playing at an MVP level throughout the regular season, didn't play in the postseason, returns, Carson Wentz. So now you get him, you throw in Darren Sproles. This team on paper is a much better team than the team that hoisted the trophy. We'll see if they can stay healthy and stay focused. But right now, this team should be the repeat champions, not only in the NFC East, but they should be repeat Super Bowl champions.
One of the things that jumps out to me, and they were obviously, they proved this last year, the depth of this team. They were able to get through five key injuries last year and win a championship. And when I look at them compared to other teams, not only in the division but in the league, Buck, they've got about 9 starting caliber NFL offensive linemen. You watch these preseason games, there's teams that don't have 5 and sure as heck don't have, you know, 6 or 7. When that second group comes in there, they don't have a third tackle. They just fall apart. When you've got Vitae there, big Vitae behind Jason Peters, who played well on their run to the Super Bowl. Chance Warmack has started games. Isaac Samulu has started games in the league. They've got a couple talented rookies. Matt Pryor has got a chance to develop and be a starter in time. Taylor Hart is not terrible as a backup tackle, but they got a lot of depth. And then that's not even mentioned our big rugby player that they drafted. It's kind of a project in Jordan Mailata. So they have tremendous depth in that offensive line. Running backs, they go 4 deep, 5, maybe even 5 deep when you look at it, with Jay Ajayi, Darren Sproles, Corey Clement. All three of those guys make the roster. Josh Adams from Notre Dame, who was ridiculously productive. They got him as an undrafted free agent. He looks like he's likely to make the team. He's got a lot of ability. That's 4 guys right there. You still got Matt Jones, Smallwood, and Pumphrey. I mean, they're going to end up cutting some pretty good players at those positions. Receiving-wise, you know, Alshon Jeffrey's down right now, but you bring over a Mike Wallace. You've got Mac Hollins, who's a great special teams player and has got some ability down the field. Marcus Wheaton's played some. Nelson Agholor coming off a big year. I mean, I just look at every position across the board, quarterback on and on and on. Tight end with Dallas Goedert and Richard Rodgers, who started a lot of games in the NFL, pairing up with Zach Ertz. It's just depth. I mean, they have so much depth on this football team, especially there on the offensive side of the ball.
Yeah, they're a talented team. They have really done a great job of making over that roster, making sure that they have 2-3 players that can play at every position. They're a tough team. I'm telling you, the only thing that can derail the Philadelphia Eagles will be the Philadelphia Eagles, meaning not being able to handle the weight of being the champion, not being able to take on the best shot from everybody that they face during the season. It'll be a little different for them being the hunted as opposed to being the hunter. But on paper, man, the talent is there for them to make another run.
I'll give you one of my bold prediction here. Jalen Mills is going to be a Pro Bowl corner for them this year.
Whoa.
You like that bold prediction? You can save this one, Silly.
Whoa.
You can mark that one down. He had a great camp. And
that was not Picante hot. That was Habanero hot.
There you go.
Spicy bold.
No, he's a 7th-round pick. He's just one of those guys that's a worker. He's instinctive. He's tough. And he's continued to get better and better each and every year. They've got a pass rush in front of him. I think he'll get his hands on some footballs. Sidney Jones is going to get a lot of the attention. Should have been a 1st-round pick, and he's going to be a good player for him. But I think Jalen Mills, Ronald Darby's a good player. Got Rasul Douglas, again, a lot of depth. But Jalen Mills is the guy, I'm telling you. Keep an eye on him. He's my award candidate there in the back end for the Eagles. I still like the Eagles to win the division, Buck. I know we can get into some of these other teams before you tell me what you think here. Let's roll into the Giants.
Man, this team, I believe this team could make a push to go from worst to first in this division. And I know it's crazy to think about a team being 3-13, making a jump. But when I look at them offensively, they have so many weapons that it can be very, very tough to defend. Odell Beckham Jr. comes back fully healthy, arguably the most explosive playmaker in the league. You put him with that wide receiver core, Sterling Shepard, Evan Ingram. You throw Saquon Barkley in the backfield, rebuilt offensive line. For Eli Manning, all he has to do is connect the dots, take the open receiver. He doesn't have to be a great quarterback. He just needs to be an effective quarterback. We'll see if he can do that. And then on defense, I'm really excited about the scheme that James Betcher brings in and the pieces that he has to play with on defense. I believe these guys can get a rush. I would look for Olivier Vernon. You talk about putting bold predictions out there. How about Olivier Vernon getting 15-plus sacks this year?
Whoa.
Being a feature guy in a very, very – blitz heavy scheme.
That's some bold coffee there.
I mean, let's why not.
All right. Okay. Hey, go ahead and put it out there. I just
got the Tim Hortons coffee right here that I got for Corey Coleman. Got this sitting right in front of me.
Yeah, there you go. That's so good. I don't know, man. I think JPP, we'll get when we talk to Tampa down the line here. I think he brought a lot to that football team. I think they ended up missing him more than some people think. You know, even he had the accident with the hand and all that. But he was somebody you had to account for each and every play and was a nice compliment. You know, have 2 big-time edge rushers coming off the end there. I think that's a pretty big deal. So, I don't know. I'm wait and see in terms of how much pass rush they really are going to generate here with this team. So, yeah, they're a wait-and-see team for me. Let's go on before we predict how we're going to see this thing finish up here. Let's get to the Cowboys, your team that gets not enough attention.
Yeah, the Cowboys, they haven't got enough attention. We barely even talk about them on NFL Network, and better yet, we don't talk about them much on the podcast. But now that we have some time to kind of air out some of the Cowboys stuff, I think this team is going to be a little better than people anticipate. There have been a lot of questions about the wide receiver room and who's going to be the number one receiver. By all accounts, that number one guy may be a rookie in Michael Gallup. He has been terrific. When you talk to Cowboys officials up there, they've been feeding him. He does a great job of kind of winning those contested catches. Not Dez Bryant, but he has the ability to do some Dez Bryant-like stuff, particularly when Dez was in his prime. Keep an eye on him. And then I'm excited to see what they're going to do when they spread him out and they have Cole Beasley and Tavon Austin on the field. And before you laugh, Tavon Austin has not played up to draft expectations. But look, he's fast. He's explosive. Maybe.
Too late.
Maybe, just maybe, they have a plan to get him the rock.
I've
said this.
I've heard it.
This team is going to allow Dak Prescott to do some Tom Brady-like stuff. Look for them to spread the field, work those little matchups with the quick guys running away from those big lumbering linebackers. I think the Cowboys' offense is going to be more productive because, worst case, they can hand it to 21. He can run behind that big offensive line, and they can ground and pound you to death.
They got to get somebody to be a vertical threat for them. I know Michael Gallup caught one over the top in the first preseason game, but they need somebody to emerge as a vertical threat. When you've got that offensive line and that run game, you've got to be able to pay that off down the field.
Tavon.
He's not a vertical
Tavon can run past everybody.
You know, this is like, you remember Peanuts? This is just, how many times are you going to let them pull the ball back and fall down before
he's already
you
got a hammy, too. So.
Because he runs so fast.
Of course he does. Of course he does.
Because he runs fast.
Look, I gave Tavon.
You don't see slow guys pulling hamstrings.
I gave him a big grade coming out, but it's only so many times. Like, come on, man. I'm not.
This is the year.
I'm falling for that again.
This is it. This is it.
It's like those jelly
over
beans,
under know. On Tavon Austin
receptions. You keep reaching in and you keep getting the licorice jelly bean every time.
I'm ready.
Like at some point in time, you realize that's all that's in this jar is the licorice flavor. That's
over,
it.
Over
that's
under on Tavon Austin. Tavon
where
Austin over.
It,
under.
How many games
under.
He's gonna play?
No, over under on
nine.
How many receptions?
He's gonna play nine. How many games are you gonna get in the nine games?
They want to get him 10 to 12 touches a game.
He won't last.
What are you talking?
No way.
You gotta run out of bounds.
He's gonna get hurt. He's going to get hurt.
10 to 12 touches a game.
I've heard this every year. Every year.
It's new year.
This is the year.
Such a pessimist.
It's
going to
happen. Just needed a coaching staff.
I don't understand.
Again, put him in the right
you
position.
Oh, you,
I just need to go to a new city.
You
like
brought up
times?
Peanuts. Doesn't Peanuts have a character that has the cloud over his head? You're that
guy.
Yeah,
Pigpen.
Pigpen. You're just always negative. Tavon Austin over under. We're going to set the line at 45. 45 receptions.
45 receptions?
45 receptions.
Oh, I'm going to take the under.
Oh, my
under.
Gosh. Man.
Under.
His career high is 58. Good work by Hytham.
Yeah, 45. Nice. Hey, 45 is a good number for me just pulling it out. I'm going to go Tavon Austin over. And he and Cole Beasley are going to be dynamite. They're going to be dynamite inside. Dynamite.
So, there you go. Hot take.
I almost went big because I'm almost a fixed numbers, but then I felt like I'm getting a little carried away. I think the coffee got me going. I almost said that Beasley and Austin would both go over 1,000, but I'm not quite ready to go there.
Oh my gosh,
scrimmage not quite ready
yards,
to go there.
Maybe scrimmage yards if Tavon's returning punts and kicks.
Oh my god, you're such a hater.
What if you count the preseason too?
No, not that. But look, here's the reason why the Cowboys are going to be dangerous. It has nothing to do with their offense. Their offense is going to be good enough to play keep away and do some of the things they did a couple years ago. Did they win a division? They won a division a couple years ago. Leighton Vander Esch, Jalen Smith, Sean Lee, that linebacker core is going to be pretty good running from sideline to sideline. Chris Richard has come in, and they've kind of added and tweaked and done some things to the scheme. You'll see some more single-high defenses, some more coverage to go with the Tampa 2 that they run. I just think these young guys on defense, they're going to run and hunt. And DeMarcus Lawrence playing for a contract.
He's a great player.
I like how the Cowboys are trending. Everybody can't be first.
I don't know. I think they can. The way you've talked about every team in this division,
can't
I think
be
you got
first.
Them all. It's a four-way tie. They all go 11-5, I guess.
I haven't talked about the Redskins yet.
All right, get to the Redskins then. Go ahead.
Redskins, look, one of my favorite guys playing quarterback in Alex Smith. Doesn't get enough credit for what he is. Steps in for Kirk Cousins. Jay Gruden feels like maybe he has an upgrade. Feels like he can do some things that they couldn't do with Kirk. So now can they use the athleticism? The big thing is they lost a huge piece of their offensive puzzle when Darius Geis limped to the sideline with a torn ACL. They have Chris Thompson. They have Samaje Perine. Man, Darius Geis was the best running back they've had there since Clinton Portis. I thought he was going to be fantastic in that scheme behind that big offensive line. brings him back to the fold. And I just don't know if my guy, Greg Minuski, can get that defense right. They need to be able to play better defense to kind of have
Why are you so pessimistic, man? You're just like Debbie Downer. It's like a little cloud hanging over your head. You're so negative.
I just don't know if they can do it, but I like
little known fact. Little known fact about Bucky Brooks. I'm going to share this with the listeners right now. Every quarterback that's ever come into the draft has been compared to Alex Smith in one way or another. So it's either he reminds me of Alex Smith. You know, he's not quite as good as Alex Smith. He's not maybe a less athletic Alex Smith.
Come on.
He reminds me a lot of intelligence-wise, similar to Alex Smith. Like, Alex Smith is the bar for Buck. That is the bar that every man is compared to at the quarterback position.
Wipe that off the podcast. He's not
the bar. No way. That's true.
Someone's going to make a gift about that. You'd be like, he's the bar. Here's what I say about Alex Smith. Alex Smith was underrated. Alex Smith was underappreciated for what he brings to the table. The last 5 years, he's played terrific. I think he's third only behind Tom Brady and who else wins? Somebody else wins.
Bucky has a tattoo with Alex Smith's stats right on his arm.
I like the inside of his arm. I'm surprised you don't like him. He's from down your way.
I like Alex Smith.
Guy's a winner. He was 22-1 in college. He won a lot in high school. I mean, the guy's a winner. Guy knows how to win.
His running back in high school helped a little bit, too.
Oh, you're talking about Reggie Bush?
Yeah, he was okay.
He was all right.
All right, give me the order. I'll give you mine, then you go. I'm still going to go Philly, one. And by the way, I had to do I had to fill out, like, way before this preseason even started. I had to send in my prediction records. They're all changed since then. I'll go Eagles, one. Cowboys 2, Giants 3, Redskins 4. Because of the compelling case you made for the Cowboys today. That's why I had the Cowboys over the Giants.
I mean, that's how it should be. That's how it should be. Oh, okay. So now I got to rank him in order. Ooh, this is tough. Man, I see a very contested battle for number 1. Can we have a three-way tie? Can we have a three-way tie for number 1?
Oh, sure. It's your world.
Is it possible?
We're all living in it.
Is it possible for everybody to finish at 10-6?
Yeah.
Yeah. There?
I think it's possible.
For sure. Right? You don't have to designate your tiebreakers yet, so just go ahead.
All right, because I've already said this, like I've told y'all to run out to the printer, get the shirts. I'm going to go with the New York Football Giants 1.
Okay.
Oof. Let's go with the Dallas Cowboys at 2.
You've got the defending Super Bowl champs at 3? Come on, Buck.
And then the Philadelphia Eagles at 3. Man, it's hard to repeat. They get everyone's best game. They've talked a lot. They partied. Members parade. A lot of stuff.
I'm kind of expecting Colleen to sneak up from behind you with a chair.
She's going to mug me?
Yeah.
She's going to mug me?
That is great. Hey, put it out there. Why not? How about some week 2 storylines to look forward to in preseason? I know we got Sam Darnold rolling tonight. That's one that I'll be looking forward to. Anything else week 2 that's got you fired up?
Man, it's all about the quarterbacks. It's all about what the young quarterbacks are going to do. We saw the rookies play. And so I want to see what Sam Darnold does in a start, see how he handles the Washington Redskins, and if the Washington Redskins come after him. If they come after him, I want to see, man, how does he respond? How does he handle it? Is he poised? Does he have the composure? All that stuff. And then – Baker Mayfield 2.0. I want to see him against the Buffalo Bills. The Buffalo Bills on defense traditionally don't do a lot, but I'm sure Baker Mayfield will get more time. With more time, more opportunities. Let's see what he does when he has more extended playing time. Does he play better than he played during his first week? He was good his first week. And then finally, I can't let this go because I feel like you gave me a hard time on this guy, and I'm ready to give him a preseason Hall of Fame gold jacket.
No.
Write it down.
We talk about this every year. What color jacket do we – because gold is for the Hall of Fame. We need a preseason Hall of Fame jacket. What color do we use? The Masters has the green jacket. Hall of Fame has a gold jacket. What color do we want?
I think it has to be orange, something that's bright, right? Like, something that –
it's like a knockoff, just a slight knockoff from the gold.
Yeah, just something like that.
What about a silver jacket?
I don't know, but my first nominee,
silver
jacket preseason,
silver jacket.
Okay, preseason silver jacket goes to none other, Cody Kessler. Cody Kessler was 14 for 17.
Nice,
14 for 17 last week. He
lit 37 yards.
No, but hey, all completions. All gas, no
can't
breaks.
Can't go broke taking a profit, right?
All gas, no breaks. My man Cody Kessler, that you poo-pooed here on the podcast. I told you that Cody
Kessler
was
going to throw for 4,000 yards.
Wasn't that the original Bucky Domus, the strike of Bucky Domus?
I said he was going to have a 300-yard game.
And he did. He went out there and slammed it down.
I am ready. Look, Cody finally, look. He's a warm weather player. Up in Cleveland, it didn't agree with him. Then he went on that Tom Brady diet where he ate chicken breast and brown rice every day for 4 months. He was out of his mind last year in Cleveland. Now he's back. Florida sunshine. Ball flies farther. He's ready. 14 for 17. Watch out.
Will he start a game this year?
Well, I don't want to wish that Blake Bortles got hurt because Blake Bortles is the big money quarterback. However, I will say if he gets in, they won't skip a beat.
I love
Blake
it.
When you look at Cody Kessler career, 63.8% completion percentage.
I'm not trying to start a controversy, but I'm just saying, like, sometimes they went shopping at Nordstrom's. They could have went shopping at Nordstrom Rack and got a discount at quarterback.
All right, that's good. Silver jacket. Let's put it on him.
Cody Kessler.
So we'll keep an eye on that storyline. Bucky's created a quarterback controversy there with the Jags. You'll be getting a text from Caldwell today. All right, how about any other storylines to keep an eye on? Let me see here. Going through the list of games, what jumps out to you?
I got one for you.
Go ahead.
Yeah, so actually tonight, Steelers-Packers.
Mason Rudolph.
Yep, Mason Rudolph, Josh Dobbs versus the two rookie cornerbacks.
Josh Dobbs. He sneaks Josh.
Josh Dobbs did a good job last week.
Yeah, he threw a couple strikes last week.
Landry Jones called a realtor.
They're going to play most of the game, and then they're playing up against those Packers rookie cornerbacks. That should be fun to watch. A bunch of rookies all over the field in that one.
Mason Rudolph. I'll tell you another thing to keep an eye on this week is the Colts with the Ravens. See what the second timeout looks like for Andrew Luck.
Oh.
They might heat him up a little bit.
Oh, yeah? It's a little personal? The Monday night game?
No, I just
the
think
Monday
they
night
just,
game?
They just, you know, it's a defense. I was around with the Ravens when they hurt Michael Vick in the preseason 1 year.
You think they'll come at it? Come on.
They're not going to go after him like that.
It looks preseason. They're not even game planning. They're not going to come after him like that. I will say this.
I'm interested to see it. I want to see it.
I will say this. Watching that Indianapolis Colts game, watching how Andrew Luck, man, you talk about the ball coming out of his hands fast.
Whoop.
Either they have put him on a clock where, look, the ball needs to be out in 2 seconds or less. Because it was coming out. He was throwing the ball to the backs. He was getting it out quick. Hey, it was all rhythm.
Do you any of your kids watch The Wiggles when they were little?
I mean, way back. Yeah, The Wiggles. Yeah.
They had a song on The Wiggles show. Sully, did you grow up watching The Wiggles? You're probably young enough. Yeah,
no, I'm not.
Sully, you still watch The Wiggles now?
No, I've never. I've never watched an episode.
Are The Wiggles on in the back end? The Wiggles? The Wiggles on in the back end?
Yeah, right. No,
you probably identify. You probably identify with the pink wiggle.
Yeah, no.
This is
I have no idea what you guys are talking about. I didn't know they have.
There was a song on the Wiggles called "Hot Potato, Hot Potato, Hot Potato, Hot Potato."
I think DJ potato.
That's what I think of when Luck's back there. It's like get that thing out, man. We're not sitting back there holding that ball.
You and the Wiggles.
Our kids liked the Wiggles way back in the day.
Oh,
all right, let's real quick. Went to Texas A&M. I don't know if you guys have been. I guess Sully's been to Texas A&M, right, Sully?
Yeah, I did. I went to the AK coming out party a couple years ago. Double overtime game. That was really fun.
There you go. It is one of the more beautiful stadiums I think I've ever seen. I mean, they took me inside. I got a chance to go speak with the team and visit with the coaches, and they gave me kind of the tour of their facilities and the stadium and the suites that they have there. I don't know how you get it. If you get a recruit on campus, I don't know how you don't get them. I mean, I guess they're loaded. They're telling me they've got second or third ranked recruiting class for next year already. They're going to win there. I don't know how they haven't won huge there. They've won a little bit there. But, man, Jimbo Fisher, everybody's talking about the money that he was making. Man, you walk around that place, that ain't a problem. They scratch that check easy.
I mean, they do a good job. The thing is, it starts with the quarterback, though. Can they find a quarterback? Can they get the quarterbacks that they have on campus to play at a high level? Jimbo wants to run a pro-style offense. I don't know if any of those quarterbacks are necessarily ready to play that style, but we'll see. We'll see. I know he's talking
Clemson
about
– Clemson week two at A&M. That's going to be a fun atmosphere.
Fun atmosphere. You may want to close your eyes, though. If you're standing up the whole game. You stand up the whole game yelling or whatever. Don't they kiss after touchdowns?
They do. Yeah, they kiss after every touchdown.
Won't be a lot of kissing going on today. That'd be a game that we can take the kids to. We don't have to worry about covering any eyes.
Yeah.
No covering PDA. Eyes.
It is an impressive play. So we'll see. Maybe not this year, but I do believe they'll get that thing rolling there in due time. We also, before we get out of here, Buck, we got some home-and-home series that were announced. Clemson LSU is a fun one. That's a scouting delight with all the athletes you'll have on that field, all those NFL players. Also, a bunch of other games. We were kind of looking it up. Sully put together some of these games for us. What jumps out to you here when you see some of these out-of-conference games we've got coming up here in the future? Some pretty good ones.
There are some pretty good ones. When I look down, I'm going to ignore the obvious one. But I think one that could be a heavy hitter in a few years. How about Alabama and Texas?
Yeah, that's going to be fun.
Traditional powers. Well, I shouldn't even call Texas a traditional power. They're a power in their own mind. How about that? But Bama, Texas, two football schools, two teams that kind of fancy themselves as being upper crusty when it comes to the football establishment. I want to see if Tom Herman is still there. I want to see him go toe-to-toe. Nick Saban.
How about some of these other ones? I mean, there's a ton of them. But we get Ohio State in Washington in 2024 and 2025. We'll see where the Ohio State program is at that point in time. UCLA, Georgia, 25 and 26. So Chip Kelly will be well established there by that time, going on to face Georgia. And then Bama, Notre Dame, this is a million years from now, 28-29. Lane Kiffin will be in his third year as the Alabama head coach at that point in time. We'll see what that looks like. Alabama going to Notre Dame, that'll be fun.
You guys are skipping over the best one.
Oh, there is one on here that Bucky didn't want to talk about it. He didn't want to talk about it.
I don't even know what's up there. It's a two-for-one.
It's a two-for-one special. It's actually in bold on your sheet there. UNC App State, That is those games take place in 2019, 2022, and 2023. Of course, we got to play two at your place and one at our place.
We're focused on the process. We're focused on being better in 2018. We're worried about 2019. And
I hope you guys get some sweet Jordans the year before you play us.
Yeah, we're going to get sweet Jordans. We're official.
I know. I was just hoping they're really, really nice collector's items so a bunch of your dudes sell those things off and get suspended for that game. No, that'll be fun, man. We should, if Lord willing, we're still doing the podcast 2019, 1 year from now, we got to make that a road trip. How do we not do the pod on the road for that
one? We got to. Move the sticks ball. Early in the year.
Move the Sticks Bowl.
The Move the Sticks Bowl. Nice.
I like sponsor it, maybe?
T-shirts.
Yes. Yes.
MeUndies. MeUndies want to get a piece of that. Maybe Castrol Edge jump in.
That's right. Team that jumps out to me, got a few games going on. Virginia Tech's playing Penn State. They're in 20 and 25. They're playing Wisconsin as well, and they're also playing West Virginia. They're going out and traveling. That's pretty impressive from the Hokies. So
Penn State-Auburn would be fun in 21 and 22.
That'd couple fun places to play right there, for sure.
Yeah, that's great. Hey, by the way, before we get out of here, Sully, did you do your homework?
I did. I went back. So last episode gave me a little homework talking about Valdez-Scantling, and both you guys have thrown his name out this summer, but I went back and found when Bucky was talking about the trio of wide receivers the Packers took.
My third favorite pick is actually a collection of picks. The Green Bay Packers doubling up at cornerback with Jaire Alexander and Josh Jackson, and then tripling up at wide receiver on day three with Jamon Moore, Marcus Valdez-Scantling, and Equanimeous St. Brown. I think that is terrific because, look, we talk about in the later rounds, there's like a 20 to 30% chance that these guys hit. And to get three of them, you're assured of one of these guys is going to emerge as a guy that it can be a starter and a contributor on a major level.
How about a little golf clap there? Huh? Nicely done. Bucky crushed that one, and then there it is. Thank you. And now we're starting to see. We knew, hey, your odds are good that one of these guys is going to hit. And so far, he's the one that emerged there in the first preseason game.
Yeah, he did emerge. 100-yard game. He was big, man. And watching him, he played in the slot, played outside, caught the ball well on slants. Then he got down the field. They need someone to emerge in that wide receiver core to kind of help Davante Adams and Randall Cobb. Maybe, just maybe it's MVS. But look, Equanimeous St. Brown has 70 yards receiving too. Maybe both of those guys are guys that can hit.
Oh, there you go. Doing a better job than reading off the card, apparently, from practice a couple weeks ago where A-Rod was not happy. Doing better. Hey, we've got Chargers-Seahawks for me Saturday, Buck. Looking forward to that one. Last week was my first run there with Matt Money Smith, and LT was having flight issues. So the morning of the game, I get called in, and they're like, hey, you might have to flip over and do the TV for this game if LT doesn't get there. Well, I was all excited to do radio, Buck. I didn't shave. So I had to go buy a razor, some shaving cream to get all shaved up in case I needed to fill in. But fortunately, LT made it there in time for the game. I got a chance to do the radio there with Matt. It was a lot of fun. And now this week, we've got the Seahawks coming to StubHub. So looking forward to seeing that one. Phillip Rivers gets his first action in the preseason. So looking forward to a fun weekend.
That should be a lot of fun. Should be a lot of fun.
We're here. Week two of the preseason is here. Anything else you're working on, Buck, you want to plug before we get out of here?
Oh, I'm just going to riff on some of this Jalen Ramsey stuff, give my take on which quarterbacks deserve to be in the VIP circle.
Oh, there you go. VIP Lounge of Quarterbacks. Bucky Brooks. NFL.com/Bucky Brooks. Be sure to check that out. That's going to do it for us today. Thank you guys so much for listening, for leaving us a rating or review on Apple Podcasts. We do appreciate that. Those do help. Subscribing, tell a friend, all that good stuff. All our videos, NFL.com/MTSvideo. You can find them on YouTube as well on the NFL channel. We've got our video show every Tuesday, 7 p.m. Eastern. You can find that on NFL.com. Check that out as we will have you covered here as we go through the preseason. That's going to do it for us today. We will catch you next week here on Move the Sticks, presented by Castro Ledge.
Thanks for downloading Move the Sticks with Daniel Jeremiah and Bucky Brooks. For more, go to NFL.com/podcasts.